And let's pray.
Father, as we prepare to study your word, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to have a receptive heart. May Satan not blind us from the truth. And I pray, Lord, that your word would go forth with the Holy Spirit's power. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. W. A. Criswell, famous pastor of yesteryear down in Texas, had a guy and told this story about a man who came to him and asked him to bless his career. Time, he was making $40 a week, and he was tithing $4 of that $40. So they prayed, and God blessed his career. In fact, blessed his career so much that instead of tithing $4 a week, he was now tithing $500 a week. He called his pastor, and he asked him if there's any way he could get out of the deal, because $500 a week was an awful lot, and he didn't want to tithe that anymore. His pastor replied, "I don't see how you can be released from your promise, but we can ask God to lower your income back down to $40 a week." What I want to talk to you this morning really isn't tithing. It's more than that. In fact, it really isn't giving. You know, sometimes we think of giving, the offering time we give, and that's kind of it. What I want to talk to you this morning about is a way of life. We are living in a society where we're teaching people to live as a way of life, as takers. Not to go out and work hard, not to go out and live life to its fullest, not to live so that you live thinking, how can I help others? We are teaching people as a way of life to sit back and look for what they can get out of everybody else. And that's not the way that God wants us to live. God wants us to live as a way of life, to be continually looking around outside of our own little life, outside of our own little sphere, to be looking around as a way of life of giving. And how can I help others? And how can I give to others? No matter how much I might be hurting, no matter how much financially I might be struggling, but how can I live my life in such a way that I live my life as a way of giving and helping others? When you live your life that way, there's a joy that could never be explained to anybody else unless they live life that way. And I really believe, and I think Scripture points this out, that those who live a life of giving compared to those who live a life of taking are far more filled with joy. And it's just the way of joyous giving that fills you with joy. What is that all about? Well, in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul has been going to a bunch of different Gentile churches and encouraging them to give to help the Jewish church back in Jerusalem that was struggling. And he has talked about many different things. He's given an example of the Macedonian churches. He has told them that they can give and trust the money that was given be used in a proper way. And as he gets to this whole idea of giving, really gets down to the end, and he tells this Corinthian church that, look, when you give this way, there's going to be a joy in your life that you will never experience unless you give this way. So how can you experience the joy of generous giving? Well, number one, got to give generously. You got to give generously. Look with me, the command, the statement, the principle in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. The point is this. In other words, if you look at everything he said in chapter 8 and chapter 9, really the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Paul is encouraging them to fulfill their promise of giving. And here he says, look, if you're going to sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. So we need to decide in our heart that we're not going to give in this manner, that we're not going to be sparing givers, which simply means to give in a limited manner. Or in giving, you give miserly. He is here using an example of farming. He's basically saying that if you go out to your field and you plant corn or wheat or whatever, and you don't sow very much, you sow in a miserly manner or a limited manner, you sow putting out just a small bunch of seeds. That when harvest time comes, what you can expect, no matter whatever else you do in life, what you can expect is in proportion to what you have given. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. He related this to the idea of giving. If you give little, then God will reward you in a manner that is small. Little in relationship to what you have. God doesn't expect you to give more than what you have, but from what you have, God doesn't want you to give sparingly. If all you ever do is give sparingly out of what you have, then you need to realize you will only reap sparingly. I think some people think that in order to give generously, somehow we have to, in our life, become rich. And if we become rich, then we can give a lot. It's not what this passage is saying. What this passage is saying is out of what you have, from what you have, from what little you have, or from what much you have, from what you have, you ought to give generously. And not sparingly, because if you only give sparingly, that's what you're going to reap. You're going to stay right where you're at. The other side of the equation in verse 6 is if you give generously, you will also reap generously. Well, generously simply means a large amount. That whatever you have, that from what you have, you give a lot. It's lots of something. It's lots of seed. If you go out to the field and you just start pouring that seed out and putting it every place that you possibly can in the field that you have, then when it comes time to reap, you're going to reap far more than the person who sowed sparingly. It's a very simple concept. Relates to every area of life. It's not just about what you put in the offering plate, but it relates to every area of life. It relates to living your life as a giver instead of a taker. Lots of seed, abundance of seed, means that you will reap an abundance of crop, or you will reap an abundance in life. There's a direct relationship to your giving, to your handling of your money, a direct relationship to the way that God blesses you. Now be careful. There are some preachers on TV that will tell you, give all your money to them, and then God will bless you. God is not directly saying that you ought to live your life with the idea that if you sow bunches and bunches and bunches, then you will automatically reap bunches. In other words, the giving is to be given without thinking about specifically that the reason that you give is so that you can reap. Though there is a direct relationship. I think sometimes when we look at these preachers on TV that sometimes say you give all your money to them so that you can reap, that we try to get away from that, so we run to the other extreme. We don't talk all about the reality that if you live your life with a heart that is full of giving, that God will bless that kind of life. And what we need to realize is that God will bless that kind of life. Listen to these verses. In Proverbs 11, it says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched. The one who waters himself will be watered. In Proverbs 22, it says, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. And then in Luke chapter 6, given it will be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Romans 12:8 says, the one who contributes should contribute generously. Someone has said, one's return is determined by the generosity of his investment. Warren Wiersbe has said that this does not mean that we should bargain with God or look at our giving as a means of purchasing God's blessing. No. Rather, we should look upon our giving as an opportunity to show our love for God and our trust in his word. R.G. Letourneau used to say, if you give because it pays, it won't pay. But if you give as a way of life and you just love to give because you know that in giving God blesses, it's a whole different deal. And when you begin to live your life that way and don't look at thinking yourself as, I can only give when I become rich, but you look at what you have and just say, if there are needs, I want to give because I know in that manner there is blessing. God does bless that kind of giving. And there's a joy that comes to your heart that you'll never experience apart from living life that way. Pretty simple principle that we find here in verse 6. Simply says that we ought to give generously. Now, he repeats that in another way in verse 7. So let me say secondly this morning, give not reluctantly, but give cheerfully. Give not reluctantly, give cheerfully. Decide that you're going to give or you're not going to give reluctantly. Look at verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You give as you determine in your heart, according to what God says in his word. It is your decision. You can give sparingly or you can give generously. Got to decide in your heart what kind of life you want to live. You got to decide in your heart whether you want to experience the joy that God talks about in being a generous giver. The word reluctant means to give out of sorrow or pain. In other words, when you're giving, you're kind of, you really don't want to do it. You're hurting in doing it. There's pain in giving. It's reluctant giving. It's giving out of compulsion. You know, you give only because someone kind of, they beat you into it. You heard a sermon and they just kind of compelled you to do it. Where compulsion means under pressure. Offering time comes around or maybe it's someone that you're talking to and they're just kind of beating you up and kind of just saying, but you got to do it. So there's a compulsion in your giving. Over the years, I've had people come to me and say, you know what, Pastor, I finally decided and finally have understood this passage, so I'm not going to give at all. Well, what do you mean you're not going to give? Well, I'm not going to give at all because I know if I give, I'm going to give reluctantly. I'm going to give with sadness and I'm going to give under compulsion, so I'm better off not giving at all. It's not the idea. And my reply has always been, well, if that's where your heart is, give obediently until you can give cheerfully. But I really think we need to learn what he says here at the end of verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful here is the same word from which we get the word hilarious. He loves a giver who gives hilariously. He loves a giver who gives because their heart is so full of wanting to help others, of wanting to see God's work done, that they almost can't keep their wallet in their pocket because they just love to give to God's work and they love to give to those who are in need. That's what a cheerful giver is all about. And here we are told that when we find this kind of giver, that God is in love with that kind of a giver. Let me say that's far more than tithing. It's a way of life. It's a heart that just wants to give from what they have to help others who are in need and see God's work done. Warren Wiersbe has also said some Christians take this verse to mean that it matters not how much we give as long as we give cheerfully. Well, we have purpose in our hearts. Absolutely not. A cheerful giver, he says, is not a substitute for an obedient giver. Our hearts should be both faithful and cheerful because we give the right gift with the right motive. Mother wanted to teach her daughter about giving. So she gave her a quarter and a dollar before they left for church. She said to her daughter, I want you to decide what you're going to give back to God. Put in whatever you want from the collection and keep the other for yourself. So they went to church, and when it was over, she came back to her daughter and she said, well, what did you give? Did you give the quarter or the dollar? Well, said the little girl, I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. I knew before I gave that I would be a whole lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter and kept the dollar. So I did. God loves givers who give, and givers who give according to the word of God, and givers who give out of a heart that is just full of a desire to want to bless and a desire to want to give bountiful. The Bible says that God loves that kind of giver. So if we're going to give bountifully, not sparingly, if we're going to give cheerfully and not reluctantly, what should we keep in mind as we do that? I think when we give, we have to keep some things in our head. And I think one of the things that we have to keep in our head, and it's the third thing I want to share with you this morning, is that we have to give expecting God's blessing. Give expecting God's blessing, but don't give just to be blessed. You know, don't look at these words and say, well, if I give, I'm going to be blessed. So you give just so you can be blessed. If you do that, you're just being selfish. But give because God has worked in your heart that you know that living a way of life, that living a way of life of bountiful giving and cheerful giving and faithful and obedient giving, that kind of person God loves, but also that kind of person God blesses. In fact, I want to share with you several blessings that come when you give in this manner as a way of life. Number one, your needs will be met. Your needs will be met. Look at verse 8. And God is able to meet all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times you may abound in every good work. God's going to bless you materially. He will. In fact, he says he's going to give us all that we need. All you need. Enough, sufficient, adequate. He's going to give you what is adequate for your needs to be met. Notice the word all in verse 8. All sufficiency, all things at all times relates to me, all that you need. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Talking about food and clothing, the necessities of life. God in his grace will meet all your needs if you give graciously and you are missing. You give graciously and you are missing. If your needs are not being met, maybe that you think you need it, but God is saying, oh, this is something maybe you don't need. Sometimes people say, well, I can't give because I can't afford to give. But God promises that if in giving, he will meet those needs that we have. Remember a while back, I heard a preacher say, if you're not given, add up all the bills that you have and see if that might match what you should have given. And I think there's some sense to that. God clearly says here, and I love these words, all sufficiency, all things at all times. When you give generously and faithfully and obediently, God's going to meet your needs. And if you're not, maybe that's why you're hurting. Give, expecting God to bless. Notice the second one. We find it in the middle of verse 8 through verse 10. He says that all sufficiency in all things at all times in verse 8, you may abound in every good work. as it is written. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. I want you to know that not only will God bless materially, but God will bless spiritually. Notice he says you will abound in good works. Abound means to be more than sufficient. And notice it's more than sufficient in doing good things, good works. Generous giver becomes rich in good works. God will enable a generous giver to become more of a giver and be able to help more people. Verse 9 quotes Psalm 112 in verse 9. God blesses those who are generous. Righteousness will endure forever. He gains the eternal reward. In fact, hold your finger here and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, says, as for the rich, realize in that day a person was rich if they had more than enough for today. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves as a good foundation for the future, that so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. When you take what you have in this world and you share it with those who have not, then the result is that you begin to build an eternal reward in heaven for yourself. Again, that is not the reason you give, but it certainly is a result of living a life that is the life of a giver. God blesses. And he blesses spiritually. That's what he's saying here in 2 Corinthians 9. At the end of verse 9, he says, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, his seed will be multiplied, and he will harvest a harvest of righteousness. He's talking about a spiritual blessing. Verse 10 is a declaration of the truths of verse 8 and 9. God is going to work through you and in you when you become a giver who gives bountifully, who gives generously. God will use that in other people's lives. You will abound in good works. Number three, if you give expecting God's blessing, I want you to know that others will be blessed through you. And that is awesome. Look at verse 11. You will be rich in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. When we give, when you give bountifully, then others will thank God for your gift. When I went to college, it seems like every time I came home from college, the church I was going to, people would walk up and shake my hand, and they put money in my hand as they shook my hand, and it just happened over and over. And I've seen that through the years, and I've seen others that were blessed through the giving of others, that you know, there's just a way of living that when a switch gets turned in your head and you go from being a taker to a giver and you begin to give and look for ways to give to others and look for ways to give through the local church, that God just uses you to become a centerpiece for other people to begin to give thanksgiving to God because of what you have done. And when you see that, and you see smiles come on people's face and lives just being lit up, that just produces a joy in your own heart that could never be there unless you become a giver. And that's what the joy is all about. Notice he says you will be enriched in every way. Literally means to make rich, to be made rich, to cause to have an abundance. 2 Corinthians 6:10 says, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. You don't have to be rich to sow generously. You don't have to be rich to cause others to be blessed so that they just pour out in thanksgiving to God. In fact, sometimes when you have less and you give, it produces even more thanksgiving in the lives of other people. Well, there's a fourth one here. The fourth blessing when you give in this way. And it is that God will be praised and he will be thanked because of you. What you do in the lives of other people will cause God to be praised and thanked. Look at verse 12 through 15. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ. And your generosity of your contribution for them and for others while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Again, let me set the scene. Apostle Paul is talking about the giving of the Corinthian church as they gave to the church back in Jerusalem. He's saying that their giving, verse 12, is supplying their needs, plus it's overflowing in thanksgiving to God. And because they have submitted to God, verse 13, the people back in Jerusalem, verse 14, are longing for them. There's a reciprocation of what's going on here between the giver and the recipient, and then that is being poured back up to God so that God is receiving praise and thanksgiving because of the act of giving on the heart of the giver. When Paul thinks about all this, in verse 15, he kind of just pours out and says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I think here he's talking about the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of the cross. He's thinking about their giving to the church in Jerusalem as he thinks about that joy and about that awesome act of Gentiles giving to the Jews and what it is doing. It just causes him to sit back and think about God's gift to us. And he says, you know what? When I think about that gift, it's just absolutely indescribable. It's a doxology here. I'm talking about God's gift, he says it just goes beyond words. Chapter 8 and chapter 9 is an appeal to the church to give. So you may wonder, well, what happened? Did they ultimately give the money that they had promised to give? Turn over with me your Bible to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and verse 26. For Macedonia, that's the people who Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 8 at the beginning of the chapter, and Achaia, that's the Corinthian church, have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessing, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessing. The answer is yes, they did give. And Paul says, you know what? They should have. Because they had been part of the spiritual blessing of the Jerusalem church, and because of that, they ought to have shared with the Jerusalem church in a material way. But the answer is that chapter 8 and chapter 9 stirred the Corinthians to give what they had promised to give. And the Corinthians kind of came from those in this world that live to take, to those who live in this world to give. J.L. Kraft, the head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, had said at one time, and had given approximately 25% of all he had to the Lord, to Christian causes. He said, the only investment I ever made that has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I've given to the Lord. There is a joy that you can only experience if you learn in life to live according to what we've read in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. When you learn to live in life that no matter how much you have or how much you may not have, that you learn to look at what you have, what God has blessed you with, and you see what is out there in this world. You see people in need. You see the cause of Christ through the local church. And you say to yourself, I want to live, I want to experience what the Bible talks about, what God teaches us, about a joy that I can only have, that I can only experience if I learn to live in life, to give generously, to sow seed bountifully. I want to experience that. And I'm not going to look around at whether God is reciprocating or not. I just want to learn to experience the joy of living life, a life of a giver instead of a taker. Every one of us has that individual choice to make. The Bible says you determine in your heart what you're going to give. You can either give reluctantly or you can give cheerfully, but you determine in your heart what kind of life you're going to live. And I want you to know, when you live according to God's word, that becomes bountifully, that becomes generous, you will experience a joy in life that you could never experience unless you live that kind of life. Those who learn to give are far more cheerful and joyous than those who learn just to take from everybody else. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that we would learn to give generously, and cheerfully, faithfully, and obediently. Help us, Lord, not to give just to get. But help us, Lord, as I heard one time someone say, help us to give to get so we can give some more. Help us, Father, to learn the joy of generous giving. Help us to get out of that way of living that looks at people as just what we can get out of them instead of in ways that we can bless them. So help us, Father, to be blessers. Let us see that your word is absolutely true. For we pray in Jesus' name.